Hello, and welcome back to Not the Wikipedia Weekly, episode 21. Coming to you as live as Wikipedia comes to you, as developments with the arbitration committee unfold at the close of 27 June 2008, going on to the beginning of 28 June 2008, tea time, and we are talking about developments primarily between two arbitrators and some lengthy announcements that were made, FT2 and Kirill Lokshin. I'm reading. Go ahead.
FT2 appears to have posted an entire case by himself, claiming nemine contendere, which is on Latin for no one opposing,
Was
basically.
it? Let's be clear about this, though. Was it FT2 who first used that term?
It is. I've looked at the arbitration page for Orange Marlin, and it specifically edit. The revision is posted by FT2. The revision says nemine contradiciente.
So it does specifically come from him. It's very important when these high drama things happen, right, to make sure that you check the source, because a lot of times when things are imputed to somebody without that all-important link or diff, it turns
link,
out...
Diff provided in chat.
Okay. So going on to Jimbo Wales's page, there's a request for his attention. GonzoFan2007, not somebody that I really know, links to the Orange Marlin case and the administrator's notice board thread and comments, "This has the makings of getting out of hand very quickly, and it seems that there is a lot of confusion on how the arbitration committee acted and whether the above case is actually sanctioned by the committee. If you have any details on this matter, I am sure your opinion a long way finding a remedy to this situation. Thank you for your time." Pretty intelligent request to be making under the circumstances, I think.
Guys, discussion on the ANI page is starting to grow large in a very big hurry. There's also a new section. I think we should read it.
Okay.
Is this the administrator's notice board or the subpage Orange Marlin and other matters? Right.
Other matters.
Which part of the subpage are you looking at, Mitch?
13, the new one. We have to hit refresh.
An underlying problem?
Yeah.
Right. This is a long post by Wizardman asking that this brings up while it's important to find the bottom of this brings up another issue that likely caused this whole drama to occur, and that is a secret case. Now have been issues regarding secret evidence, but a secret case, quite frankly, was pretty shocking to me. I mean, was there a real need to keep this 100% under wraps? Was it necessary for no one outside of who was needed to know about it? It's a question that will have to be answered sooner rather than later with the arbitration committee, and so on that line.
That is one very interesting thing, and it actually goes back to, in some ways, it goes back to Manton Moreland, which was an open case, but remember the final development of that was an announcement from the arbitration committee that they had caught him socking yet again in violation of his arbitration restriction. And that they were putting a very brief lock on him. And that was, the socking itself was not disclosed to the committee. The case was not formally reopened. It was not listed as being under review. There was no formal request for clarification. The committee chose to discuss that privately, although it was not explained why it was necessary to bypass normal proceedings and do that, and they posted their remedy, and then the community went ahead and sidebanned him at my request. I do have to say, but there's a question of we may need to, as a community, to establish the parameters which within which the arbitration committee may act with greater clarity. I have no problem them hearing a case about children's privacy in private. It makes perfect sense that they do. But I do have a problem with them arbitrarily hearing cases in private when there is no compelling reason to do so behind closed doors.
With the information given by the arbitrator, either chosen to post or not supposed to post, that they just didn't want to bother hearing from the person. To remove a person's right to defend himself, that would seem to require fairly strong reasons, not just an arbitrary whim of the ARBCOM.
But this is at least the third time in the past half year when the arbitration committee has aside the right of defense in, I would say, non-urgent cases. I mean, if somebody managed to, well, you can't technically, delete the main page anymore, but if they did, or if there's a real war, obviously they need to step in a rush in that situation. But is there a compelling reason here? Now, there was a case a few months ago, Matthew Hoffman, where where an administrator was brought up without prior dispute resolution. The committee went into voting phase 12 hours after the case opened, before the administrator was able to post any evidence, and that was not an urgent case. In my case, it's pretty open. The committee went into its voting phase less than 4 hours after the case opened, and I was unable to, assemble, much less post, even half of my evidence in that time frame. The thing had unfolded over Thanksgiving weekend. The request for comment on me opened on Thanksgiving Day and was obsolete 12 hours later when a request for arbitration opened, naturally on Thanksgiving as an American. I take a few hours first to eat and be with family. I welcomed the arbitration case. I know I had erred. I was willing to take ownership of my mistake. And I wanted to clarify that it was the size that it was and not a bigger mistake, because more things were being attributed to me that I didn't do wrong. I was basically unable to mount a defense because less than a day after the case opened, a third of the entire committee had already gone on record stating that no defense was possible for what essentially was a 75-minute block that I had undone myself with apologies and done my best to atone for.
The ARBCOM also seems highly unwilling to change any the phrasing or voting once it begins. Occasionally voting will change, but the phrasing of a finding of fact or something will almost rigidly stay the same from the start of the case to the end. So the finding of fact is written early before evidence is provided.
Even when developments happen during the case, if I can mention the Franco-Mongol Alliance case, I know we've discussed that when we weren't recording, there was an editor who was, after they held out the case to double-check this, he was creating citations from sources in three different languages, so it took a little while to verify, but they found that after a survey, 30% of this editor's citations were unsound by any extent. That's a serious problem. They also made a finding saying that they thought this editor was acting in good faith. I was involved in the case peripherally, mainly because I had also, in my administrator duties on the sister project Commons, I had to raise an issue with several dozen copyright violations that this person had uploaded. And they were copyright violations for a fairly complex reason, and I won't get into the details of that, but they were. And the vast majority of those images got deleted.